Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Chris Bowden, the pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio for the Blackhawks broadcast, along with our Blackhawks writer for WGNRadio.com, Scott King. Good afternoon, Scott, as we tape here prior to the game against the Dallas Stars on Thursday night. First of all, how was the trip to Grand Geneva last week?
Thank you. It was good to see you, Chris. Thanks for coming in. I feel like 95% of the time I see you, you're in a very nice suit. Just knowing you over the years, it's the requirements of the job.
Usually for road games when I'm here, the rest of the people all see me in jeans and a sweatshirt. But did you get some R&R time?
You know what? It was very nice. I'd been in the hotel as a kid. You just expect a somewhat nice hotel in the Midwest to stay warm, kind of relax a little bit. And it was phenomenal. I had two of the best steaks I've ever had. One at dinner, and then one was just steak and eggs in the morning.
That's saying something, living in Chicago, that you have to head north of the border for that?
Yeah.
Don't let anybody know.
No, they're up there. They're up there with your Gibsons or your Chicago Cubs. Wow. The cuts I had were very nice. And they have some nice hills for sledding and skiing. My daughter, who's 2.5, went sledding for the first time. She was terrified. She didn't want to go. Then as we're leaving, she goes, "Go down the hill." And we went, and it was very fun.
Everyone survived.
Everyone survived.
Well, we opened with the Chelsea Dagger music, and unfortunately, we haven't been hearing too much of that, whether it's at the United Center or on the road. 22 goals for the Blackhawks in their last 11 games, and five of those came in the game right before the All-Star break at Detroit. It has been mystifying.
I was literally thinking at the last game we were at on Tuesday when DeBrincat scored. I'm like, that song, it used to play in United Center so much. You were so used to hearing it, and everyone would be jumping around, dancing to it and singing it. You hardly ever hear it anymore. And I think, Chris, one of the really telling stats is, there's just not a lot of goals, but it's who you're getting the goals from. The stat before Kane scored with 5 seconds left in the third on Tuesday was that the last 14 goals came from guys 23 years old or younger.
Right.
And that's your young guys who are playing very well. And you're rebuilding on the fly, but it's not a complete rebuild. You have core players who have won 2-3 cups that, and you expect them to play well. And I think, everyone just expected a better team effort across the board this year. Yeah, you knew there were going to be young guys coming in, but Alex DeBrincat, Nick Schmaltz, they're playing really well overall.
And we're going to be joined by one of those recent Blackhawks Cup winners here in a matter of minutes. Brian Bickell is expected to join us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. But furthering that thought, at practice on Wednesday after the loss to the Calgary Flames, the 3-2 loss to the Calgary Flames on Tuesday night, Joel Quenneville had some interesting thoughts because there were some pointed questions coming from the media on hand about the performances of his leaders. And first of all, let's hear Joel. This is about a minute or so long, and then we'll come back with another soundbite from the head coach. But Joel talking about the leaders, the guys who wear the letters on their sweaters, and specifically we're talking about Taves and Keith and Seabrook, but other leaders as well, other cup winners as well. And he was asked about the pressure that those guys are starting to feel in this situation coming into Thursday, 7 points out of the second wild card after being so used to winning and getting into the playoffs relatively easy for so long.
I think as captains, I think there's a sense of newness to whether it's the situation of or the desperation that when we look at the standings and accepting that it's a gigantic task. We never had this positioning, and especially late in the season, that these guys have done nothing but win and been a big part of it. And now that it's not the same environment, it's different. And I think that as a coach, you got some certain responsibilities to make sure that you try to maximize everybody's effectiveness. And there's certain things as captains that they can influence in the locker room. At the same time, there's certain things as a coach you want to make sure that everybody's performing their best on the ice, and from that, that could be a good sign of leadership and some of the other stuff we can try to control or help as coaches.
And that's interesting enough to perhaps talk about, but let's complete this whole thought. because Joel was then asked about how he assesses the performance of his cup-winning leaders so far, specifically the captains this season.
The captains, I think, as a team, and when we assessed everybody's performance this year, I don't think anybody's exceeded expectations or come close to it, especially the top guys. And but that's across the board this year. I don't think anybody should be satisfied with where they're at in their play.
And so some specific pointed comments there from Joel Quenneville about the performance of some of his top guys. Let's face it, it's been talked about. All you have to do is look at the numbers with what they have or haven't been putting up so far this season and how the younger players, the stat that you mentioned, have stepped up so far. But this is the first time I think Joel is putting it out there on the table. He's very careful to defend some of the guys who have both gotten him to where he is as a three-time Stanley Cup winner and, that he has helped along also in terms of getting three Stanley Cups. But for the here and now, perhaps with the exception of Patrick Kane, some of the other guys who have been around this season, bare bones haven't done the job so far. And this is, I think, the first time Joel has really thrown it out there, even though I don't think it should really be a surprise. He's more or less just stating fact right there.
No, yeah, he hasn't been protecting those players, the core players not named Patrick Kane who have needed to play better all season. He respects those guys a lot, and he doesn't want to have to address this and say, yeah, they need to play. He just wants them to play better. He doesn't want to have to talk about it and spell it out, but he's been forced to talk about it a lot lately. So I think you saw him call out Duncan Keith, a week or two ago, saying he's just been okay this entire season. So that was kind of big, and now, he's getting asked about these guys again, and he kind of has to be a little more honest and say, yeah, they all need to elevate their play. They all need to step it up.
All right, let's head out to the phone line. We'll continue the conversation both after we hear from this gentleman and also perhaps during our conversation. Pleased to be welcoming Blackhawks Stanley Cup winner Brian Bickell, who is joining us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Hey, Brian, it's Chris Bowden and Scott King with you here at WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. How you doing? Thanks for joining us, and how's everything going?
Yeah, things are going good. Thanks for having me on again. It's a life-changing event from playing hockey full-time now being a full-time dad. But, it's nice to see. I got two little girls, 3 and 1, to see them, grow where, I'm usually down the road or at the rink. But it's been life-changing, but it's been good in ways.
Yeah, and let's get to first. One of the reasons you're joining us is a charity event that you and your wife Amanda are holding this Saturday at SoulCycle Southport at 3423 North Southport Avenue in Chicago. Tell us a little bit more about the event. We can kind of fill in the cracks in the event you miss anything, but what the event, when it is, what it all involves, and what the benefit of it is too.
Yeah, so we got approached to do the cycle, and we're like, yeah, sure, this should be good. Something to get out of the cold and be active. There's 60 bikes that there will be $100 a bike, but you can also pay for $150, and then you get 3 hours of unlimited drinks that afterwards. The proceeds would go into our foundation, the Brian and Amanda Bickell Foundation. And just making awareness for, our dogs. And now we're doing a new program to, give service dogs to people with MS. So obviously that's, our next step. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be good. It should be fun, a fun event. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and Brian, Betsy Shepard, publicist to the Stars, was telling me that that you don't have to, if you're not, I'm not a big cycle guy. I don't know if Brian Bickell's a big cycle guy now, are you?
We had to ride a lot of bike hours to keep in shape when you're not outside.
There you go. Well, she's telling me you don't have to do the cycle part if you don't want. You just go out for drinks and enjoy those with you guys. And look, I've been to an event of yours and your wife's and your wonderful foundation, and just a ton of fun. You guys put on great events, so I definitely encourage people to check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the good part of it is with the 3 hours of unlimited drinks, these soul cycles are stationary. They're in place, so you're not there weaving around. The event begins at 2 o'clock, arrive 30 minutes early. It ends right down the block at Butcher's Tap, again, with 3 hours of unlimited drinks. With that little bit extra, check out the Brian and Amanda Bickell Foundation Facebook page at BickellFoundation.org for more info. So how have you been feeling lately? Have you been remaining strong and staying away from some of the effects of the illness that you've been dealing with?
Yeah, things have been good. You know, I've still been playing hockey once or twice a week. I think, you know, going through something like this, you need to, you know, stay active and keep all your muscles in tune and keep the heart, you know, moving to keep things going. And, you know, eating healthy is a big thing, I think. Eating the right things and putting the right things in your body is what you're going to get out of. And, you know, things have been going good. Like I said before, it's been, you know, a different life-changing. You know, at times I'm pretty bored, but I got my two young girls that I run around day in, day out to keep me, you know, in shape that way. So,
yeah, Brian, I know it meant a lot to you when you signed the one-day contract to retire a Hawk. I was there at the press conference. I saw those emotions. But what's running through your head when you're up there, you have the sweater on again, you're in front of the media, and you're out loud announcing your retirement? What's going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, it was, announce that I was going to be playing my last game with the Hurricanes and then finishing up there, you know, weeks later that the Hawks wanted to, you know, bring me in for the last shift. You know, it's a huge honor. You know, I got drafted in 4 by the Blackhawks, and obviously with the history that we've went through for the, you know, 9 years as a part of it, it's an honor to come back and to wear the Indian head and seeing all the fans and, you know, next teammates, you know, show the respect. And it was awesome. It was a good day, a good night, and all my friends and family there to experience it, because they have experienced all the highs and lows of my career. And, you know, that was the icing on the cake right there.
Yeah, it was a great night, a warm, loving, wonderful night at the United Center to welcome you back into the Blackhawks family. Even though you were in another jersey for a while, it seems like you had never left, especially with the heroics from the 2013 playoffs. How closely have you been watching the 2017-2018 Blackhawks when you've had the chance?
We've been to a couple games. Obviously, that one, they were playing against Pittsburgh, and it was the 10-3 shellac they gave to the team. So I was like, well, this is a good start to beat the best team in the league last year the way they did. Obviously, they're not going, you know, where they want to be right now. There's still, you know, lots of time. They're only, you know, 6 points or whatever, how many points out of a spot. You know, the division's so tight. You know, I see them making a couple moves to help them this year and maybe, you know, in the future. But that's not my decision. That's their decision. I know whatever they do, and they've done it before to fix pieces and bring pieces in to make the team better, to make long pushes, they're definitely going to do it.
I know you're still friends with a lot of guys you obviously won cups with. Is it kind of hard to watch them, the veteran players, the core players, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but not play to how they usually play? Is that hard for you to see? And what do you think some of the issues are there?
I think it's just the game's changing. You know, it's you know, they've been in the league for 10 years, and, you know, you look back from 10 years ago, there was, you know, basically three lines or, you know, kind of can be skilled and move the puck. And but then there's that one line was all, you know, tough guys. Now it's all four lines. The guys are getting older, and they're not getting faster. They're, you know, the game's only getting faster. And I noticed that from last year. So it's that time, you know, you get old. It's just a fact of life. And, you know, I know there's different things that you can tinker with the game to provide, but, you know, it's just part of it. And I know they'll make the right decisions to keep the Blackhawks in the playoffs and make pushes.
Before you came on with us, we were hearing from Joel Quenneville after yesterday's practice talking about the leadership. And, you know, you've been on the end of those conversations with Joel sometimes when, you know, a player may be struggling. He has to, you know, perhaps, even though he doesn't want to do it, maybe go with another option and hope that player is able to hit the reset button. And, you know, goodness, he's even had to do it with the likes of the Patrick Sharps and the Brent Seabrooks of the world this season, as much as he hasn't wanted to do it. From your dealings with Joel, what are your recollections in terms of how he is able to handle that? I think for the most part, you know, the right way in order to get, in order for it to become a means to an end to bring that player back to the level that he should be playing at?
Yeah, I know, me and Joel, we had some, quite a few of restart buttons, but it was, you know, see those guys go through it. They're the high level, you know, elite players in the team for, you know, so many years. You know, sometimes it's refreshing. It kind of pushes you and gives you that little bitter taste in your mouth to prove him wrong. And I think, you know, being a coach, that's what, you know, it's tough to do, but you want to do it to get the best of your players. Obviously, at times it's not, doesn't feel right, but it really depends on the player, what they, how they react out of it. And I know, you know, seeing Siebes, he got, you know, healthy scratch that one game, and then he came back and he scored the next game. So I know he didn't appreciate it, and that's why he did what he did the next game. It's what, you know, coaches are for. I know Joel's, you know, he likes to throw it in the blender once in a while and mix things up when things weren't going right, but you know, he's a winning coach for a reason.
One last question before I let you go, Brian. I know you're busy, but something that kind of flew under the radar right after you retired is I know that you got roasted. I know that a friend of mine, a very good comedian in Chicago, Pat McGann, now I don't know if he was the only comedian there, but he hosted the roast. And then what was that like? Did you get your bell rung at all? How did the guys like it?
It was good. It was a surprise roast for me. I had, you know, some ex-teammates like John Scott was there, and I had Paze and all the guys around the team that I was there part of. But then, you know, it was pretty good. And it was obviously my first time I ever got roasted, but, you know, he was joking a lot where a lot of people could roast me because I guess I'm just that nice a guy.
Seriously.
He was kind of disappointing in the roasting, but it was a good night and a good event. And I know I have memories from that night for sure.
See, it pays to be a nice guy, and you were always there to answer the question, answer the bell. Whenever us media were with you through good times and bad, we always appreciated that. And then, you know, after the playing days, you're not a nice enough guy. You know, the roasts don't sting as much. They got to reach.
No.
They got to reach for things.
Yeah.
So it all pays off in the end. Brian, great to hear from you. Great to hear that you're doing well. Thanks for taking a few minutes to jump on with us, and I'll give it another plug once we sign off here with you. But appreciate you taking the time once again, and good luck in the event this Saturday. Our best to you and Amanda, okay?
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Former Blackhawk Brian Bickell joining us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Once again, they're promoting a charity event that he and Amanda are holding this Saturday at SoulCycle Southport, located at 3423 North Southport Avenue in Chicago. The event begins with the SoulCycle class at 2, arrive 30 minutes early. It ends right down the block at Butcher's Tap with 3 hours of unlimited drinks. Again, check out the Brian and Amanda Bickell Foundation Facebook page or BickellFoundation.org for more info. One of my favorite Blackhawks to cover, quick story, during the 2013 playoffs, during that series against the LA Kings, he went down with an injury late in one of the games in regulation that eventually went to overtime. I believe it ended up being the clincher where Kane scored. And so the celebration was on. All of a sudden, he showed up in the locker room during the celebration, and I asked him, what was going on there? Is anything serious? He goes, no, I just got a little Charlie horse or a tweak. And then we find out after the 2013 playoffs, even through that series against the Boston Bruins, when he came through with that clutch goal among the 17 seconds, he ended up having like a torn ligament or something in that knee, and it just shows what hockey players can go through. You know, he was mentioning the line blender and keeping this topical heading into this game against the Dallas Stars at the morning skate on Thursday. Joel kept that first line with Taves, DeBrincat, and Duclair together, but then again, this is just a search for some kind of combination with this team. 7 points out of the second wild card, 5 straight losses at home. 2-5-2 in the last 9. The other lines that he's apparently going to try heading into this Dallas game: Hartman, Anisimov, and Kane. So he's taking Schmaltz away from Kane, which has been beneficial for Nick so far this year. And apparently saying in so many words, okay, Nick, time to put your big boy pants on. You may only be 21 years old, but we want to see what you can do on your own away from Patrick. So he'll be centering a line with Brandon Saad and Vinny Hinestroza, a real young line there with a lot of speed. And then the fourth line consisting of Patrick Sharp, David Kampf, and Tommy Wingles. And on top of that, Joel is even mixing up the defensive pairings. He's taking Jordan Osterley away from Duncan Keith and putting Connor Murphy, who was a healthy scratch for Tuesday's game against Calgary, pairing him with Keith. At least that's the way things are looking here, based on what we saw on the morning skate. Kempney pairs up with Osterley, and then the Gustafson-Seabrook combination remains together. And again, Joel doesn't want to do this. He wishes he had a go-to or go-to lines to at his disposal. But, you know, time is ticking. The calendar's flipping. And this team, you know, continues to sink in the standings. And it's the never-ending quest to get some lightning in a bottle here.
Well, this is a deluxe blend. I mean, this is a big Q blend here. The things that stand out to me, Chris, Hartman moving up. And like you said, in Schmaltz being a center and a third line. Schmaltz has played so well with Kane, like you also mentioned. Did Hartman have such a good game? He had a strong net front presence. His goal got taken away after 8 minutes.
Isn't that ironic? That's the thing that the Blackhawks need, and then when they do it, it's
in
a
Tuesday's
goal
game,
taken away.
I'm mentioning. Yeah, do you think he's being rewarded for that game? He did have a pretty good game.
I think from an effort standpoint, Joel has been as happy with Ryan Hartman as anybody from an effort standpoint. Yes, there may be some bad decisions he makes along the way resulting in penalties, and that's something the Blackhawks cannot afford to do.
He's also drawing a lot too, though.
Exactly.
He kind of makes up for that.
He gets under opponent's skin, yeah. And for the comparative lack of production from what it was a year ago, 19 goals a year ago, and I think he's sitting at just 7 heading into this game against the Dallas Stars. I think from an effort and a caring standpoint, and you saw him get pummeled against the Islanders, against that Big Moose a couple of weeks ago, when the Blackhawks, you know, faded fast in that game, trying to light some kind of spark. That's something John Hayden did as well while he was up here for the Here and Now. Hartman has that role, I think.
He was giving up 50 pounds to that guy, though.
He was, you know, and that's 4 or 5 inches
as well.
I said
at the time, it's unfortunate he felt the need to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was stupid or gutsy, and I know Troy Murray loved every minute of it.
He's a tough guy.
So from that standpoint, I think Ryan Hartman gets rewarded. You know it's in there based on his performance last year. But how many guys can we say the same thing about throughout up and down this lineup? You know it's in there somewhere. It's just about drawing it out. And, you know, another soundbite I was considering playing here, but I'll just paraphrase here. Patrick Kane, you know, between the Flames and Stars games, talking about just getting a win, what just getting a win would do right now. Think of the concept of that with where this team has been over the last 9 years and the difficulty of getting a win. The real difficulty hasn't necessarily been getting a win, but getting 2, 3, 4 wins strung together so far this season. And that's something that former Blackhawks teams would never even think twice about. You wouldn't even think twice about the prospect of having to win 20 of your final 30 games in order to get in position for the playoffs. And now they're at a stage here where this is something so easy before seems so difficult right now.
That's exactly what I was going to say in a word or less there. February 8th, you didn't think that we'd be talking about just getting one win at this point in the game. And nor did you think during Tuesday's game, 2 nights ago, if you're listening today, would Brandon Saad be on the fourth line.
Right.
I thought at the time that trade was great. We've talked about it on the show. There's so many things are unpredictable in the way they've happened and the way guys are not just finding something to spark their game. So they're running out of time is the issue. And the other teams in the hunt for the wild card in the Central and the West are not losing that are ahead of them.
And when you look at all these other teams in the West and you think the Blackhawks have it in them and that they just haven't shown it, as I said, you know, winning 20 of your final 29 games, you know, and having a couple of those go into overtime to earn a few extra points, you know, that gets the Blackhawks to 96 points. And I'm not even sure if 96 points does the job this year. I mean, this Dallas team that the Blackhawks are playing on Thursday night, you know, now all of a sudden they've gotten so hot that they're knocking on the door of third place in the Central and putting St. Louis behind them. This is a team that's really playing well. And I went in the postgame show the other night and I talked about the teams that the Blackhawks are battling things out with, the Calgarys, as well as, you know, the Minnesotas, the Dallases, with Dallas and Minnesota holding down those two wild card spots, Colorado, L.A., Anaheim. I may be missing some team in there. They haven't even played San Jose so far this season. But I think of all those teams, the Blackhawks have just 2 wins in all their games against them this season head-to-head. Those 2 wins came against the Minnesota Wild. They also lost two times to the Wild as they closed their season series on Saturday against them. And so the teams that they have gone head-to-head with and needed to beat, they've been unable to do that so far. And that's gone so long or so far into the position that they're in right now. It's unbelievable. Why don't we do a couple of our fan questions? As long as we're rolling around here. Let's go to TR Slider on Twitter. Question from him/her. Sorry, I don't have the profile up.
It's a gentleman.
Okay.
A good pal of mine won a softball championship with
okay.
him.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So is this because I know him? I'm going to make him the question?
Yeah, I think you know how it is, Chris. You have friends who are also fans.
Pays to know the Chelsea blogger. Okay.
Yeah, you might get moved up a little. I think he had a really good question, but he got bumped up a little bit. Sure. I'll be honest.
So I asked if past success, loyalty, marketability, and contractual obligations were erased, who would you try to move and who would you build around? Let me get your thoughts on that first.
Well, it's kind of a fair question. I mean, I think it is overall maybe suggesting that that's why Bowman rewarded guys like Seabrook with such a big contract. And that's honest. If I'm being honest, and I he still means a lot to the room day in and day out, whether you're practicing or playing it in a game. I think Seabrook's contract is a real issue. What is he locked up through 2023?
Right. But I think also part of that the equation of that question should also be how many would want Brent Seabrook at this stage of his career.
Right.
I mean, he serves a leadership purpose in that locker room. Very well liked, even in that one game where he was scratched in Ottawa, the guys were saying it really felt weird but then they go ahead and beat the Ottawa Senators by a score of 8-2.
So maybe that's good, that weird feeling. Maybe it should be brought back somehow.
Yeah, and it's really a tough call because, I mean, Duncan Keith is still a very good defenseman. Has he been a Norris Trophy defenseman? No, he hasn't been.
But he's
that.
Still a heck of a deal for a Duncan Keith.
Yeah, when you're thinking, what is it, a 5-2 or 5-3 per
right.
year cap hit? Yeah, and I'm not sitting here saying stay put. You shouldn't move any of these guys, but there's going to have to be some hard decisions in the off season here. But with some of the limitations of the contract, it almost becomes a moot question. I'm not trying to avoid it, but
you just don't know. And I don't think they're gonna do anything. People want them to make these big decisions and moves now at the deadline. I think they know where they are. They're not one good player away. They're not gonna trade a Brent Seabrook. First of all, he's got to waive a no trade clause. That takes a lot of convincing. You're not gonna do that in the middle of a season. Guy's got a family here.
Yeah, and so many of these have built in limited no trades. I mean, even if you really wanted to be, a cruel, I'm only looking at the numbers and where his career is going right now based on the last 3 years, the last time the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. Let's send Jonathan Toews somewhere. What kind of reverberations would that send through the locker room and the organization? If it's all about production, and that does mean a lot, but what kind of reverberations would that send? And who would you get in return? And with ideally who the Blackhawks would, if they were inclined to do so, want to get in return, would you find a team willing to give that kind of cargo back if you were to ship Jonathan Toews out, if you were even to entertain that thought?
So that's your thought, just paying respect to the question, that's your thought is by the numbers, Toews would over Seabrook for you?
Well, no, I'm talking about terms of if you're going to try and get any value back.
Yeah.
And what is that value now compared to what it could have been 3 years ago? And are you going to get... are you going to get that type of young cornerstone player, which I think it would have to be if you were to go down that road?
You
have to
find a young
cornerstone player if you were to do this. So there's a lot that goes into that decision, and it's not just the Blackhawks' decision. Even if they were to come to that conclusion, what are other teams in the league thinking about Jonathan Toews?
They need people to come to the table and say, yeah, we'll take him for this.
Is anyone thinking we're going to get the Jonathan Toews from 2010 through, basically 2015 or so? And the Blackhawks' hope is that, he's only 29, 30 years old, that somehow this light goes on. I think it's fairly easy to tell, as much as he's the brave front and the voice of this team, we're in the sea at this season, and perhaps a progression of what's going on the last couple of seasons with first round exits and his numbers based on his numbers earlier in his career are probably weighing on him a little bit. And I think that's also a factor. And I know everyone with a hard head says, too bad, it's sports, live with it. You're getting paid $10.5 million a year. There's a whole lot that goes into that equation. Hey, our friend Margo on Facebook says she wants to hear my thoughts on my first season covering the Hawks for WGN. What's been the most unexpected part for him? I don't know if anything's necessarily been unexpected because I've been around the team a lot. I've been real lucky. The first year I started, hosting TV pre and post on a regular basis was that 09-10 season. And just like the first two games of this season, after that 09-10 season, I go, hey, this is great. This
sign
is
me
easy.
Up.
This is sign me up, just like it was for the Pittsburgh and Columbus games to start the season here on radio. But it's been interesting because I think the most unexpected part has been the narrative we've had to go through here on how this team is performing. And I think it's unexpected to a lot of people. But I think also we're learning on the go here about how this league and how fast this league has evolved. The Blackhawks set the bar with the type of play and players that they had early in this run, or particularly in the 09-10 season. So they became the blueprint for every other NHL franchise to follow. And since then, we've had a lot of people copy and mimic the Blackhawks. And now along the way, they have found doors opening for younger and younger, more skilled and talented players to get on the ice and show their thing. And it hasn't been as detrimental as it may have been 10 years ago because, you just have to look at the All-Star game a couple of weeks ago. And you have your fair share of veterans on there, but what are we seeing this team, this league turn into?
It's a lot of new faces
right there.
Like Brian was saying, it's just so much faster now. These guys that have played for 10-11 seasons just can't keep up.
And with all due respect, if Brian were in the league right now, he'd have trouble staying in the league.
Maybe he'd tell you that for sure.
Even if he was playing at the rate that he was, and let's face it, when he was in his heyday during, he had a couple of great playoff runs, even though the Blackhawks may have been knocked out in the first round a couple of those years.
Yeah.
He had some dominant playoff runs. It seemed like whenever that playoff door opened, and it culminated in that 2013 run, finishing up against Boston. But even as the player that he was then, could that translate just 5 years later into being something more than just a role player in the NHL right now? I'd have difficulty believing that he'd be, a top six guy in the league right now.
No, the game's changed.
Yeah.
And I want to point out that Margo asked a Chris Bowden specific question, so I don't want you getting too big of a head.
Well, she mentioned covering the Hawks for WGN. Yeah. Margo retweets everything I tweet. We love her. And
she's the best.
Yes. We have a couple of folks out there. Kristen, I know, who actually is a big Hawks fan, a Chicagoan, who's relocated to Arizona. She's one of them as well. And got a handful of people out there, and we really are grateful for their appreciation.
Yeah, you're on Booster Club, people.
Right.
People like Chris Bowden.
I got to get that into contract negotiations next time, I think. So here as we are in the midst of and continue what should, could be a stretch here where Stan Bowman is going to have to decide what he wants to do come February 26th. We went into this week thinking two Calgarys, a Dallas, and a Minnesota, followed up by, a trip on the road starting in Minnesota to Arizona and Vegas, this being a crucial stretch for the Blackhawks, which they haven't answered so far. As we wrap this thing up going into this game on Thursday night against the Dallas Stars, where are you at with where this team is and rate their chances here? I think the 7 points is less imposing than the teams between where the Blackhawks stand 7 points behind and the destination of what looks like simply only the eighth spot being available in the wild card.
Yeah, like I said before, these guys just aren't losing. And a team like the Calgary Flames that the Hawks should beat, they lose two very, very important games to in a row. I think those are really costly losses. That's right around the time, in my opinion, that the Hawks had to put a run together. They had to see some good things. Like you said, and you're paraphrasing Kane, a win is huge, especially you saw maybe about a month ago, they had a huge overtime win, and guys were celebrating, like mm-hmm. they're going to the playoffs or something. Because it does do a lot for the room and character and morale, especially when you're drop three straight like they just did as of Thursday heading into the game. So, you know, I don't – the fact that they're still not seeming to find any consistency, minus just a few guys scoring, and Crawford's still not back yet. And, look, I do think the backups are doing enough to keep them in games. It's just that little extra push you might get from Crawford, but it still might not be enough the way guys are playing in front of them. So, as of right now, I don't think we're looking at a playoff team.
When we come back with our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast, hopefully we're not talking about a six-game losing streak at home, or you know, a streak that's now 2-5-2 in the last nine as we record here, extending even further. But they're, the end of that rope is getting awfully close, and I think everybody in that room knows it, and I think that's also an added part of what they're battling right now from a mental standpoint. They talk about, you know, not trying to pay attention to the standings, but the way this team has handled adversity or been unable to handle adversity so far this season, you know, has been very telling, and it's going to have to take a quick 180 in order to turn this thing around.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't pay attention if they keep losing. I mean, you just know you got to put a run together.
Right,
right. That's all they got to do.
Yeah, they keep talking about simplifying, and talking is one thing, doing is another. So let's see if the Blackhawks can do this before it gets too late over the course of the next several days. That's a wrap-up on our Blackhawks Crazy podcast. We invite you to follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog, and follow me and Scott on Twitter, at Bowden Tweets for me and at Scott King Media for Scott. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. You're sticking around. No more vacations for you right
all
now.
Right.
You got too much snow you got to shovel here coming up.
It didn't
up.
Take too much of a toll on me. I felt pretty crisp today.
You were. Bravo to you. I think, yeah, you hit the reset button. You're rejuvenated.
Yeah, I feel
fresh.
Good. Great 2 days.
For Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. Again, thanks for joining us on the Blackhawks Crazy podcast, and we will talk to you again next week.